This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to another episode of Echoes of Dissent, a weekly podcast that explores the events, the movements, the beliefs and the personalities. In short, the why a song of protest, a song of dissent was written and sung, and who created it. We look at its impact at the time and its relevance to today, if any. My name is Frank Carter, and today we go to 1985 to 1990, a turning point for global environmental awareness, characterised by the emergence of climate change as a major political issue, the discovery of the ozone hole, and major ecological disasters. In this vein, we review the 1990 release by Neil Young and Crazy Horse of a very discordant and worried Mother Earth national anthem. And we look at Neil Young's passion for environmental action. We listen to the warning and ask if the near universal concept of Mother Earth is a useful one. Does it lull us into a false sense of security? Because, as we know, mothers are all forgiving. They may growl at us every now and again to pull us back into line, but we do know that in the end, they'll always give us a hug. Or do we see this track as a dark rock and roll interpretation of the dispassionate and, of course, initially scientifically discredited hypothesis of a dispassionate Gaia that really doesn't care whether or not humanity survives?
Once more laid down by the hungry hand. How long can you give and not receive and feed this world ruled by greed? Summer sky, your healing light, your parade of days. Are they betrayed by the men of power who hold this world in their chains?
Children's Day.
And then we have a very discordant plea. Neil Young's bringing out the key environmental issues of the time. In the song and in his background, he's not just a protest songwriter. He has spent decades turning his beliefs into visible and at sometimes personally costly activism. His course spans the environment, indigenous rights, and corporate accountability. We're seeing this in this song of his. And here's how his song fits together with the environmental movement of the time. Neil Young has been one of the most outspoken musicians against the oil extraction. Now, look, I drove here in a car, and I'm thinking, is it really time for me to get one of those plug-ins? Yes, oil extraction is really, really bad stuff. But we're still driving our cars. And we'll go to that later on in the program, actually, how we might be being nudged away from it. He's criticised the Alberta's oil sands due to the extraction of the oil from the sand. He's created the album The Monsanto Years, which links corporate agriculture and environmental harm. And Monsanto, of course, is a major corporate, provides insecticides and fertilizers and so on. And he has publicly opposed pipelines and fossil fuel exchange. So that's his key areas. His approach is blunt. He doesn't mess around. Although in this track, he doesn't actually mention companies, but he's not averse to doing so. He's looking at renewable energy. He promotes, and this is not just in his music, but in his life as well. He promotes cleaner fuels through projects like he's got a modified classic car, apparently, called the Link Volt. And he says he tries, but not always perfectly, I guess, like the rest of us, to live the change that he argues for. Another area of his key advocacy, along with Willie Nelson and John Mellencamp, was the farm aid and rural advocacy. Farm aid, he started this in 1985, and he noted that a lot of the mum and dad farms, the family farms, were being taken over by the enormous, huge corporates. In the 1980s, there was a lot of foreclosures, people have borrowed too much money, or money, a lot of money. Interest rates went through the roof, couldn't afford to put them out. Look, this is the same as happened in the 30s, of course. And then, of course, the corporates can come in and sweep up the farms at a bargain price, pushing out the small farmers, the small family farmers, which really are the backbone of rural communities. And we see this in New Zealand, of course, that the farming community is the background of the small and very alive, lively and very contributing. They contribute an enormous lot to the community, to the country, the small townships. And what does he do? He, in his farm aid, he has lots of concerts to raise funds, and he advocates for policy change, and he supports sustainable farming. And we see that farmers increasingly turning towards sustainable practice. Now, we know that the vast, vast majority of farmers, they operate sustainably to the extent that they can. Yes, there's a lot of fertilizers imported, but there are beginning to be changes. And quite regularly, we're now hearing about farmers who are introducing a life cycle of sustainable farming. This sustainable farming is probably one of the most tangible, long-running impacts of any musician-led activism. We're finding, of course, that the use of a lot of pesticides, DDT was, of course, one of the classics and banned a long time ago. But increasingly, we're finding that the pesticides are maybe helping to grow more crops now, but we're seeing worldwide that insects, the extremely valuable life that we see under the soil, the insects are disappearing, and birds are disappearing. We're seeing this all over the world. When did you last see a monarch butterfly? I have a couple of those swamp plants in the garden, and I was hoping or expecting to see some monarch butterflies. No, The swamp rats are doing very, very well, but we haven't seen any butterflies lately. So Neil Young is promoting the sustainable and commenting and trying to reduce the use of these pesticides that are killing the infrastructure under the ground, you know, the animals, they are insects that are so vital for the health of the soil. Another one is Indigenous rights. He's from Canada, and he's consistently supported the Indigenous communities, especially in Canada. And this is where we come back to small farms. Indigenous rights, Indigenous opportunity, and opportunity for local families that have been there for centuries, to continue to farm within their community, within their families. He's spoken out about land rights and environmental protection, and he's highlighted the links between resource extraction and Indigenous sovereignty. All the minerals from our land, if it was personally owned, then the person who owned it would have the rights. Indigenous rights, these protests, connect directly to songs like Mother Earth, respect for land, because it's not abstract, it's political. And many of his songs double as activism, of course. Ohio, which we're going to have a future program about, Rocking in the Free World, and of course today's track, Mother Earth, national anthem. His music often begins with rage, satire, and a quiet warning. But what makes Young different? He's been consistent. From the Vietnam era to climate change, he hasn't drifted from his core values. He's risking personal loss, industry backlash, and public controversy. And he doesn't soften his criticism. Not everyone agrees with him. Critics say he oversimplifies complex issues, for example, of GMOs and energy policy. Others argue his lifestyle hasn't always matched his ideals. Yes, okay. But even critics acknowledge his authenticity and persistence. And Neil Young's activism is built on a simple through line. Protect what sustains life, land, people, and truth, even if it costs you. He isn't just a protest songwriter. He has spent decades turning his beliefs into visible, sometimes costly, activism. His causes span environment, farmers, Indigenous rights, and corporate accountability. Here's how it all fits together.
Mother Earth, with your fields of green, once more laid down by the hungry hand, how long can you give and not receive?
This, of course, is where Neil Young is bringing in the Mother Earth concept, addressing the Earth as a mother figure whose resources, fields of green, are being depleted by human greed. The hungry hand, of course, symbolises our relentless consumption. And how long can you give and not receive underscores the unsustainable nature of exploitation. This, I think, brings in the concept of, oh, yes, Mother Earth. How are we treating Mother Earth? And as mentioned earlier on, I'm just wondering if Mother Earth, the concept of Mother Earth, has unconsciously lulled us into a sense of security, which we don't really have. In our next verse, it represents life and healing.
And feed this world. Summer sky, your healing light, your parade of days, are they betrayed by the men of power who hold this world?
Here, of course, He's introduced the ball of fire, the sun representing life and healing, but its gifts are threatened by those in power. The parade of days suggests is the passage of time and the cycles of nature. Again, I'm not sure if Neil Young was thinking of the Gaia concept, but again, we have to contrast this with the Gaia. It's uncaring is the wrong word, but the totally objective Gaia concept. The verse questions whether the natural rhythms are being undermined by leaders who prioritize control and profit over stewardship.
They hold the world.
Verse has shifted to a call for action. Freedom Land likely refers to America. The message is universal. It's really easy to pick on America. That, in many respects, is unfair. The streets where the numbers grow could symbolize urbanization and loss of connection to nature. Well, that of course, clearly happens. The choice presented, respect the earth or trade away our children's days, highlights the moral and generational stakes of environmental neglect. Our role as parents as a generation is to support and provide the opportunities and a better world for our next generation. What Neil Young is asking is, are we doing this?
Oh, Freedom Land, can you let this go down to the streets where the numbers grow. Respect Mother Earth and her giving ways, or trade away our children's day.
Here, of course, Neil Young is looking to the future. He's saying, as parents, this generation, our role is to make things better. We don't own this planet. We're just its guardians, and we should be passing on in a better condition than we received it. So Neil Young is calling for us to think about our children and grandchildren and their children. But what he's saying is we're actually trading away our children's days. He's highlighting the moral and generational stakes of environmental neglect.
Or trade away our children's days.
The outro repeats the central plea, reinforcing the song's urgent message. It frames environmental respect as a duty to future generations, warning that failure to act will have lasting consequences for our children, our grandchildren, and their children. Why does this song matter? Well, yes, okay. The issues of the time are still with us. 1988, global warming became part of the public consciousness after James Hansen, a NASA scientist, spoke to the US Senate and citing high temperatures and droughts as evidence of human-caused climate change in 1988. There's been a lot of work, and there continues to be a lot of work. So Neil Young's song is a warning, and the scientific community, the technological community, and I guess philosophical community are leading us in many respects to develop technologies which are at least slowing down. But we're not there yet, of course. Deforestation, of course, and that continues to be an issue. I read recently of a situation where a forest has been cleared, basically, including all the animals, the orangutans and whatever, has been cleared, and it's now muddy because the timber was being used for kit set furniture. Neil Young's big picture is built on a simple through line: protect what sustains life, land, people, and truth. Truth being, this is happening. The world is not impressed. As an objective, unfailing entity. And we ask, could there be a link? Is there a link, a warning? Is there a profound connection between this song and the Gaia concept? Can Neil Young's Mother Earth be read as a dark rock and roll interpretation of the Gaia hypothesis? The Gaia hypothesis is a theory first proposed by scientists James Lovelock and developed with microbiologist Lynn Margulis in the 70s. It suggests that the Earth functions as a single self-regulating organism. Living and non-living systems interact to maintain conditions, temperature, atmospheric composition, ocean salinity, favorable for life. Importantly, Gaia is not conscious. It's not a conscious goddess, but an emergent system. A bit like your body sweating to cool down. You don't think about, oh, I'm getting hot, I will sweat to cool down. Your brain does it without thinking. Your body, your sweating is not part of your intellect, your consciousness. It just happens because that's what your body's built like. And Neil and the Gaia concept suggests the same kind of thing with the Earth. Neil Young's lyrics map into this concept almost perfectly, but with a crucial twist, a terrifying twist. The theory warns that Gaia will correct by removing the threat, which is humanity. There's no other creature on Earth that creates such change to the environment. And that's simple. The direct link broken down by key principles. The Earth is a single living entity. The Gaia concept. The planet is a coherent system, not a collection of separate resources. So everything works together. Young immediately personifies the planet as Mother Earth, a single maternal being with fields of green and giving ways. This is not metaphorical prettiness. It is the foundation claim of Gaia. Treat her as a whole or suffer the whole's response. But as people, we are not looking at the whole forgiving mother of our youth. We are looking at a dispassionate entity. As mentioned earlier, mothers, are we lulled into a sense of security by the concept of Mother Earth? Because as mentioned, as suggested earlier, mothers are all forgiving. They, as said, they growl at us every now and again to pull us back into line. But in the end, they always give us a hug. But Gaia is dispassionate. She's not there to give us a hug. She is there to survive as a planet. The system seeks balance. And like our body, we get hot, we sweat. Gaia concept, Earth systems, oceans and forests and atmosphere all automatically work to maintain a stable, life-friendly state. If one part is damaged, other parts react to compensate. We can see that. If oceans are warming up, or if the forests are being devastated, the oceans begin to warm to compensate and the atmosphere warms. Song, the link with the song, Young's question, how long can you give and not receive, directly reinforces the challenges to this balance. He's asking, at what point does the system switch from giving to defending? The giving phase is homeostasis. The revenge phase is the collapse of homeostasis. If you stop sweating, you'll not survive. If we stop sweating. And that's the analogy. It's critical to recognize that this is not revenge as we think of it, just a dispassionate correction. The hungry hand is a planetary fever. Gaia concept in Lovelock's later work, The Revenge, he argued that humanity has become a planetary fever or a disease. Gaia is not moral. It's not good or bad. She will not punish us. She doesn't punish us. But she will respond to the fever by raising the global temperature, acidifying the oceans, and creating conditions that remove the virus, remove us. This is the song's core. Young's hungry hand is the pathogen. That's us. And the famous verse is a perfect description of Gaia's automatic amoral correction. Young uses the word revenge, but in context, he clarified it. It says not spite. It is a consequence that's taken all she had to give and could not understand. The hungry hand fails to understand limits, just as a virus does not understand the host it is killing. Gaia's revenge is simply the host's immune system. The future in the ground as system collapse. Gaia concept. Lovelock famously warned that triggering runaway climate change could lead to a hot Earth. Well, hello, what are we hearing? A new stable but lifeless for humans equilibrium. Gaia would survive, but we would not. The Young's chilling line and the futures in the ground takes on a second Gaia-specific meaning. The human greed. We buried our future by digging up forest fuels. Gaia concept. Our future will literally be in the ground, as in buried, because the system we disabled will stable the temperature that kills us. Gaia will correct itself through our extinction. The final plea. Gaia is a test, not a god. Gaia concept. Lovelock was not an optimist. He believed we might already be past the tipping point. Are we being told that our climate change is setting so close? A tipping point. He argued that respecting Gaia's limits were not the was the only rational path. Young's outro. I'm going to talk to you about Mother Earth and all the days we've wasted. It's not a prayer. It is last desperate attempt to explain the science in poetic terms. He is saying you cannot negotiate with a fever. You cannot bribe an immune system. You either stop being the fever, the pathogen, or you're removed. Lovelock was careful to say Gaia is not conscious. She does not decide to take revenge. Young, as a poet, uses a language of will to make the concept emotionally urgent, but the mechanism is identical. Exceed the limits of a self-regulating system, and the system will regulate without you. In both the science and the song, the Earth does not hate us. It simply cannot afford to keep us alive if we break the condition for its own stability. We know that since the 1990s, there has been giant strides in advances in our thinking and action about the environment, and enormous strides in the provision of sustainable energy, solar, wind, and more recently, even the resurgence of thinking around nuclear power. About twice as much investment is going into clean energy than fossil fuels. Sadly, America seems to be moving against this trend. So I will leave you with an absurd and necessarily rhetorical question. Is the closing of the Hormuz Strait, no matter how brief, simply another nudge, another Gaian nudge, towards the development of truly sustainable energy? So I guess the perennial advice from our dads still holds. Son, listen to your mother. Thank you very much for listening. To listen again or forward to someone you know, this program is available on your favorite podcast platform. Next week, a successful environmental protest that started as a TV commercial helped to ensure that a government kept a promise to save a pristine lake, and is the headliner for a protest model that worked.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.